Today's gospel is a gospel that you've all heard before. But it's important to put this gospel into context with the last 3 weeks' gospels. I'd like just to encapsulate just for a moment the last 3 weeks' gospels, because it is Jesus beginning his ministry. Jesus had been baptized, and he began to walk along the Sea of Galilee, that part which they said is what good can come from Galilee. He began to walk through Galilee, talking to the people, speaking to the people, healing some of the people. And as he walked through the people were fascinated. They began to say to themselves, "Is he a teacher? Is he a teacher? Is he a rabbi? Who is he?" And they're all drawn to see who this man Jesus was. He continued. And a couple of weeks ago, we've seen him stop there by the sea. And there were the two fishermen. He said to the fishermen, "Come and follow me." And they immediately came and followed him. Now, I hope that they told you during that time why they think they really came to follow Jesus. And in the case they didn't, let me explain more clearly to you maybe why. In the time of Judaism, way back then with Jesus, things were quite different than they are today. The way people thought, the way people acted, were completely different than what you and I understand. When a boy or girl was 5 years old, they began to set them on a course of occupation. The five-year-old girl went with her mother and her grandmother to learn the things of duties of taking care of the house, taking care of the family. And she began at that point, 5 years old, to have those things of duty, learning how to do them properly. Where the boys themselves were sent off to what you would call a kind of Latin, to a school of learning the Torah, and there's 26 books of the Bible, of their Bible. After 10 or 15 years, at the age of 10, I'm sorry, from 5 to 10, at 10 years old, the boys were all given a test. And if they found that they did not have the strength to really remember the Torah, to remember the 26 books of the Old Testament that they needed to know, they were then told to go home and learn your father's trade. And only after they had gone home and learned their father's trade that the other young men were continued in education. They were considered to be those people that were the best of the best. And they were attached to what they called a rabbi. And they followed that rabbi almost all of their life until maybe they became a rabbi. Or maybe they became a priest. Or maybe they became whoever they became in their lives. They followed that priest until that time. And they were considered to be the cream of the people. They knew all of the Torah by memory. They knew all of it by memory because most of the people couldn't read or write. So what happens was this. When Jesus comes along and sees the fishermen, they have been rejected. They were the ones who were not the cream, even though they had a good occupation, even though they were seen to be very wealthy men, they were rejected primarily because they were not able to really memorize the Torah. They could not memorize the 26 books they needed to remember. And they were considered to be, quote, outcast. And in themselves, they felt outcast. And all of a sudden, this man who has been thought to be maybe a teacher, maybe a rabbi, does something wonderful. He says to the two men, "Come and follow me." And you say, why did they jump so quickly? Because all of a sudden, they felt like they were worth something. Where before, they were not seen to be anybody at all. Then Jesus, there was a rabbi, had called them now to him. And now they were going to be with the rabbi. They were going to be with that man who could teach them. Even though they did not know what they were learning, they just knew he was a good man. Going to the next two, he did the same. And they, like the first two, joined Jesus because it was a sense of respect that they were going to join this rabbi, this teacher, and they were going to follow him. They were going to follow him all their life. They will leave their families, they'll leave their children, they'll leave their businesses and everything just to follow Jesus. And Jesus said to them, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And they had no idea what they meant. And then you begin to realize that what Jesus is trying to tell them is something very specific. And last week, you remember what happens? The crowd began to grow more and more and more around Jesus. He was in Capernaum, where he spent most of his time. The crowd grew and grew and grew. So Jesus decided that he needed to go up on a mountain to really teach them on the mountain, to be able to be seen by them on the mountain. And by the way, you have to keep in mind as you go through the Gospel of Matthew that Matthew will see Jesus as the new Messiah. If you stop at things about what Moses did, Moses went up on the mountain and received the Ten Commandments and brought the commandments down to the people. Jesus will go up on the mountain. He will give them the Beatitudes, the eight Beatitudes. And as he sits there on the mountain, by the way, sitting is most important because a rabbi sits, everybody else stands. He looks at all the people who've gathered around him. They are just dazzled by him. And by the way, there's all kinds of people in that crowd. There's pickpockets. There are all kinds of people who steal everything they can steal. There's all kinds of people who are just brilliant people. There were people who are very dumb people. There were people who had no occupation. There were the homeless. There were everything. It was everything combined in that crowd. And Jesus sat down and looked out at that crowd. His disciples gathered around him, standing. As he looked at the people, he said, you can always say, look, look over there. Blessed is the single-hearted, for they shall see God. It's not a commandment like, you shall not steal, you shall not kill, you shall not do this. This commandment was, blessed are those who are single-hearted, and blessed are the peacemakers, and blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who show mercy. And you say to yourself, what was Jesus saying to the people? Something profound that he's trying to pick up already as he's journeyed along the Sea of Galilee. This, my brothers and sisters, you are loved by God. And God has given you those gifts and those talents and those abilities which will create newness in the world, that will change the world, that's already within you. Live that life and you will see what really living life really is. Now, having heard that, you have to stop for a second and listen to the first reading today. Moses is speaking to the Israelite people. He says, be people of kindness, and you, your light will shine before people. Be people that care, and the world will change for you. Because he was responding to something that was so important from the very beginning, that God said to the Jewish people, you are my people in whom I am well pleased. And they took that literally. They took that literally and said, we are the chosen one of God, which means if you're not Jewish, you're not chosen by God. You're not accepted by God. We are the only ones who are accepted by God. We're the only ones who know what's going on. We are the ones who are the lights of the world. We are the ones who are important. And they began to use that kind of attitude in the time of Jesus. It had become very rampant. They were people who were very self-centered in their lives about being Jewish because they are God's chosen people. Let me tell you a story about two young men. They were 16 years old, classmates in the school. Maybe this explained one of the readings. The one boy said to the other boy, what did your mom and dad say to you when you took your home card, your card from school home, and you had all F's. And the boy said, really nothing. They just raised their eyebrows and signed my card to take back to school. And the other boy said, well, what did your mom and dad say? Well, they didn't say much to me, but the moment they saw my card, they all of a sudden accused each other of because of your family, that he all gets F's. And they got into a tremendous fight about the families are the reason why this boy is making F's. In other words, they didn't care about the boy. They cared about everything else. And that's what Jesus finds himself dealing with today. He's dealing with people who understand they are loved by God, but they have forgotten that they're loved by God. So he says to them, my brothers and sisters, you are the light of the world. Yes, we know that. But what you're doing is hiding that light. You're saying, I'm more important than the light is. He says, well, if you continue to hide that light's going to be so hidden that no one will see it. You are the light of the world. You must let that light shine. That light which is inside you is the light that God has given you to use to build the body of Christ in all the form and all the world. You are the salt of the earth. Yes, we know the salt of the earth. But my brothers and sisters, you held it so tightly inside yourself, thinking that you are the greatest people in the world, that you forgot what God has given you. Yes, you're salt, but you have to use that salt, because if you don't use that salt to change the world, it just becomes nothing. So today, Jesus is speaking primarily to really not only the Jewish people, but to the people who will be his disciples in the world. That we are gifts from God, we have talents and abilities from God, and we are called to use them, not to abuse them. And just stop for a second in your life. How are you using that specific gift that God has given you to change the world? Let me give you the beatitude that I told a story on last week. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. A little girl was sick. She had leukemia. She was only 5 years old. And for about 3 years, they had her in the hospital trying to cure the leukemia. Finally, the girl couldn't continue, and she died. And mom and dad stood around her bed. Her brothers and sisters stood around their bed. There were all the people, doctors who had worked on her, stood around their bed. And all of them were crying, and all of a sudden the head doctor, he went to the window, and he began to have tears coming out of his eyes because he worked so hard to try to save that young lady. And the mother saw this. And she said to him, don't cry. You did the best you could. God used you the best you could. She's at peace. Don't cry. Be thankful that God loves her. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. See, the Beatitudes are those to tell us all those gifts that we have are to be used, not hidden under a lampstand, not hidden any place, used to bring quality in a person's life so that God can be seen in the world. Are you using your gifts to make the world truly a better place? And that is what the gift that God has given you, whatever that gift is, you are called to use it to make the world different in your life. Or are other things getting in your way so that you do not show that gift anymore? Maybe You're more interested in the way you look, the way people think of you, or maybe your job, or your car, or your home, or whatever it is. It's all gotten in the way, and the problem is that who you are is not even seen anymore. Are you using your gift to build the world? And that's where we find ourselves today in the gospel, asking ourselves that question.